Gracious Lord, take your holy word and make it both precious and clear and then meaningful to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I can only start by saying, oh dear, because I'm going to try something that I've not tried on a Thursday morning before. I'm going to try to introduce you to a whole book of the Bible. Now, I've got a wholly undeserved reputation for long sermons. So don't worry. Your dinner and tea are not in any danger. But we had that lovely passage from Philippians read to us as today's epistle. And if you were here on Sunday morning, you'll have heard Paul preach on it with great authority, clarity, and acceptance. So I didn't want to take up that passage again, but I did say to myself, now, I wonder, could I introduce you to the whole of Philippians? In my mind, it's one of the most attractive of Paul's letters, and on the whole, far more easy to understand. So I'm holding out a sort of carrot to you, if you don't mind being thought of as rabbits. Come in and eat. Come in and enjoy. I want to try and introduce you to the whole of Philippians. So, can I start by being like Sergeant Wilson in Dad's Army? You know that very gentle person is incapable of giving orders. And so when Captain Mannering tells him to make the men fall in, he says something like, I wonder would you be good enough to fall in? So I wonder would you be good enough, please, to turn to Philippians this morning, if you would be so very kind. It's on page 209. In your Bibles. Do you know what a Russian doll is? You know, you take the lid off the doll and there's another one inside it that's exactly the same. And you take the lid off that and there's another one in there. And so you work your way from the outside into the center. Philippians is a Russian doll. It has an outside, it has one inside, two insides, and then a very thing at the center. You got that picture? It has an outside, and then it has actually three insides, and a lovely, lovely bit at the very center. And I want to introduce you to the Russian doll of Paul's letter to the Philippians. He starts off and he ends by telling us that we are a people set apart by God and greatly favored. Look with me, please, in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And if you would turn over to the last bit of Philippians, you will find in chapter 4 and verse 4:21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. You see how he starts and ends with the same thought. We are God's saints. Dear ones, in the Bible, Saints aren't people who live in stained glass windows with shiny plates behind their heads. This is an entire misuse of the word saint. We use it as a sort of Christian honorific. Some people are saints. There's Saint Paul in the New Testament. And the Pope thinks that he can make people saints. How ridiculous. To be a saint is not to be on God's New Year's honors list or Prime Minister's resignation list. Everyone who belongs to Christ is a saint in the New Testament. That is to say, a person set apart by God. One of his distinct people. Good morning, saints. That's where Paul starts, and that's where he ends. Look what else he says in the opening bit. In chapter 1, verse 3, he uses that lovely word, grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And look how he ends in chapter 4, verse 23. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You see how he begins and ends on the same point. He's talking to people who have been set apart by God, for God, his saints. And look at them. They are people surrounded and overshadowed and showered with this lovely thing that's called grace. But be careful. Grace is a description of God himself being gracious. So he not only separates us for himself, but he comes to us in all his grace. All his free, undeserved, unmerited love, goodness, and forgiveness. Aren't we privileged? That's where Paul starts. That's the first Russian doll. Now take off the lid and move in a little bit from the beginning and move back a bit from the end and see what happens. And we discover it in chapter 1 and verse 6. Are you with me? I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Christ. It's like that Olympic village that they're building in London. It's got to be ready by the day. Whether it will or not is another matter, but it's got to be ready by the day. And if you go, I've seen it because it's quite near where my son Mark lives. They're working like beavers. And to most of the buildings there, they're what you would call putting the finishing touches. Do you see that picture? Putting the finishing touches. The whole structure is there. They're finishing it off. That's what that word means. I'm confident of this, said God, says Paul, that he who began a good work in you will go on putting the finishing touches to it. Isn't that nice? What a picture. Jesus is coming again, and you, dear ones, you're part of God's Olympic village, and you'll be ready for the day, and he'll see to it. He'll go on putting the finishing touches in readiness for the day of Christ. So how would you describe that? I think, just use the word, we're a protected species. How about that? We're under his constant care, and he's constantly putting the finishing touches so that when his son returns, there'll be nothing to mar the glory of that day. Nothing half done, nothing unready. All the finishing touches will be there. We are a protected species. Will you turn over with me then to the other end? And we look at chapter 4 and verse 19. We've moved into the second level of Russian Doll. My God will satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See the same thoughts expressed in another way? The great Heavenly Father is working towards the coming again of Christ. He's putting the finishing touches to his work. That's you and me. And in the course of putting the finishing touches, he's there to supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Why? It's as though you were a member of the Sainsbury family or the Tesco family, and you go into one of these great supermarkets and you say, it's all mine. So, first of all, we're a distinct people, surrounded and showered with grace. Then we're a protected species. He's looking after us every moment of every day, and he's there to provide every need. Move in again. Come back with me to chapter 1. What does Paul tell us? Well, verse 21 will do. To me, living is Christ, dying is gain. Paul is probably in prison in Rome. That's not absolutely certain. He's in prison somewhere, probably Rome. And he can't see into the future. And he says, there lies before me that same possibility that lies before everybody. I'm either going to live or die. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It doesn't matter. I'm a contented person. I'm content to rest in the hand of God and let him work out things for me. For whether it's living or dying, it's Christ and gain. Oh, now I do hope you're with me there. I do hope that you have so grasped, dear, let me speak to you directly. You've so grasped the truth in Jesus that while you don't want to die any more than I do, because God has put us here and what a good, lovely life he gives us, what pleasures, what delights. Nevertheless, when death comes, it's not to be feared. It's a gain. We're on our way to glory. So I call that being contented. First Russian Doll, we are set apart from God in the enclave of grace. Second Russian Doll, we are a protected species under his hand and care. Third Russian Doll, why, he's brought us into a state of contentment. We can look up to him every morning and say, Lord, whatever this day brings forth, will it be life or death? I'm in your hand. And matching that, at the other end of the letter, we have chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. There's Paul in prison. And sometimes people come from other churches and they shower him with gifts and he's got an abundance. And sometimes the gifts are slower to come and he's probably hungry. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Lord, what will this day be? Will it be a day of plenty or a day of poverty? A day of joy, a day of sorrow? I'm resting in your care, says Paul. I'm content. You see that Russian doll? Good, isn't it? On the outside, the separated, distinctive people showered in grace. Next step in, protected under his hand and care. Next step in, so confident in that hand and care that come wind, come weather, we can rest, we can be contented. We can say, it's a bit rough, but it's all right. I'm ever so lonely, but I'm all right. Resting in his care, the contented people. I told you you weren't needn't worry about your lunch, didn't I? We're absolutely zooming along. Right, move in now to the next stage of our Russian doll. We've taken off three hats already, and here's the fourth little Russian doll nestling towards the center. And we find it, well, I've gotten it into the wrong letter. And this is what we find in chapter 1. Are you with me? Chapter 1, verse 27. I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and in no way intimidated by your opponents. Look at that word, intimidated. It means stampeded, like horses taking flight in panic. In no way stampeded. Paul calls his Philippians to be united, because if they stand firm together, they can stand firm against their opponents. So his next thought for us is that we, the separated people of grace, we who are the protected species, we who are content to rest in God's hand, we are determined to present a united front to the world. Now, of course, Paul's world was a challenging world. Well, isn't ours? And one great resource against the challenges of the world is the unitedness of the Lord's people. And Paul was writing to a local church. He wasn't talking about denominations, because they didn't exist. He's talking about the local fellowship. Do not let divisions come in. So often we treat divisions as though they were unimportant, and someone is at loggerheads with somebody else, and, oh, you know, he can't get on with him and she can't get on with her, and bless them, they'll come and kneel together at the Lord's table. It's not right. How can we be strong against the assaulting world if we're not presenting a united front? So this fourth Russian doll calls us to be ever so concerned about the unity of the family of God in this place. He's talking about us, a local church, we, the present incarnation of the Philippians. Stand together, he says, in one mind, in one spirit, and then you won't be stampeded. And at the other end of the letter, chapter 4 and verse, will it be verse 2, verse 1 and 2? Oh, it's a lovely verse 1. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Wasn't he a warm-hearted man, dear Paul? Do you feel the throbbing heart there? My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. And what does he want for them? Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Oh, how emphatic he is. It's the next Russian doll. You must be the united, loving, caring family of God in this place. He goes on, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Here were two leading women at loggerheads. And he doesn't say which is right and which is wrong. He appeals to them both. Euodia may think that Syntyche started it all, and Syntyche may be convinced that Euodia started it all. And he says to them both, Euodia, Syntyche, harmonize yourself. Stop this rowing. A lovely man named Guy King in the 1930s and 40s. Actually, I met him in the 1950s, so he went on. He had a very unusual way of looking at things in the Bible. Euodia. Why was she called Euodia? Because Syntyche said, you odious creature. And why was she called Syntyche? Because Euodia said, oh, she is soon touchy. And here you have you, the odious creature and the soon touchy creature. Don't be like that. Get together. Put it right. Right, we're almost there, aren't we? We've almost got to the center. And we take off the last hat of the Russian doll, and they're right at the center. What? Jesus. The whole of the center passage of Philippians just comes back to Jesus again and again and again. It's a marvelous picture, really, of the church. On the outside, we are the separated people of grace. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And then next in, we're under God's hand and care, the protected species. And then next in, we're content to rest in what he appoints, knowing that he looked after us. And next, we are the integrated, united family of God, refusing to let divisions come in. And right at the center, we're turning our eyes upon Jesus, the centerpiece of the church. You know that hymn we sing, and this was all their message, one church, one faith, one Lord. Don't you believe it for a moment, that wasn't their message. Their message wasn't one church, one faith, one Lord. Their message was one Lord, one faith, one church. Quite the other way around, except, of course, that it doesn't rhyme. Jesus, he's the key. And because we belong to him, and we have put our faith in him, then we are the one people of God. Jesus at the center. Let me just show you the three great Jesus passages, and then you can keep your eye fixed on him. The first Jesus passage begins in chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus, our example. Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Fashion yourself on him. Develop his way of thinking. Make Jesus your example. And then the second Jesus passage is in chapter 3, and I'll read to you verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. Jesus is the one who clothes us with his righteousness, putting a new robe upon us So that, as another hymn says, the Father only looks on us as found in him. And when he looks at me, he doesn't see all the blotches and blots and imperfections and failures. He looks at me and he sees Jesus. He looks at you and he sees Jesus. We're clothed in his righteousness. And the third Jesus passage is also in chapter 3, at the end of the chapter, in verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we are expecting a Savior. So Jesus is first of all our example, and secondly he is our righteousness, and thirdly he is our expectation, our coming Lord. And the whole center ground of Philippians is filled with Jesus. Well, there you are. It's a Russian doll. A separated people showered with grace, the protected species, the contented people resting in the hand of God, the people who look at each other and determine to be united in love, and at the center, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Our example, our righteousness, and our coming Lord. Go home and have a read of Philippians, will you?